Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land. This is KPTZ Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. And for our virtual listeners, we hope your computer is locked on our website, which is kptz.org. Our website's more than a way to listen to today's show. For example, you can find the biographies of all hosts and DJs. You can look up calendar listings to see what's happening around the area. You can even sample some of our earlier shows. In fact, much of the original programming on KPTZ is currently available as a podcast. You know, double your listening pleasure. Listen to today's show as well as some earlier ones. I'm Marianne McNellis. This show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who was that young couple enjoying chicken fried steak and eggs at the Roadhouse the other morning? Their toddler was perched in a high chair, noisily throwing toys and eating pancakes. Meanwhile, they were debating whether it was good or bad to keep calling him Bubba when his name was actually Christopher. Frankly, Bubba Christopher seemed more interested in the sticky maple syrup that he had all over himself. And who was that crowd on makeshift sleds shooting down the frozen hill at the high school recently? Some of the letters looked well over the student age. Ah, well, in Port Townsend, we're all young at heart, as they say. Any excuse for a sled or even a snow angel. Jefferson County is full of all sorts of fascinating characters. This show, Our Town, tries to profile a few of the singular personalities who live here, but the show's only a half an hour long, which is definitely not long enough to do justice to some of our fellow citizens. So it's a synopsis. We try to get our guests to talk about their lives, their dreams, how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otter, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. Today, my guest is Gary Lane, who's the service officer for the American Legion Post number 26 here in Port Townsend. Gary's a Vietnam vet who devotes much of his time trying to make sure that vets of all ages and wars get whatever help they need. So welcome to the show, Gary.
Hello. How are you doing?
So let's start at the beginning. Are you a local boy born and bred in Jefferson County?
No, I was born in Oakland, California. I lived there till the fourth grade, and then my mom and dad bought a house out in Castro Valley, and I went to Castro Valley High.
Was that a big school?
There was about 600 and some odd people at that time.
That's pretty good size.
Pretty good size for 65.
Yeah, you know? I would think so. So, you know, high school kids are notorious for pigeonholing each other. What do you think your compatriots would have said about you?
Well, I wasn't really too far hip on school.
Okay. You weren't a scholar.
And so the only thing I did in high school, I was on the diving team and gymnastics.
So in gymnastics, which part of gymnastics?
Well,
you
that's, you know, like on the trampoline, the rings, things like that. But as far as the diving, I did do that as a team. But as the gymnastics, it was just something I like to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's more individual sports.
Right.
You know,
like. Correct.
And I think you also told me that you took quite a few shop classes while you were in high school. Is that true?
Oh, yes. Yes. Those were some of my best ones. But my best one, I took 4 years of auto mechanic.
Ah, auto mechanics. Okay.
And I got pretty good at that.
You liked that, I bet.
Oh, absolutely.
Did you have a car of your own at that point?
Yes. I had an old 50 Chevy.
But I bet you fixed it up real good.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you bet. It was nice and clean and everything. But basically, that gave kids back in those days the freedom to go.
Right, right.
Thing without having mom to take you to dances and stuff.
Right, exactly. Well, did the kids in your town do any street racing at all?
Well, that came later. I did race for 10 years on dirt in California. So that 4 years there of auto shop gave me the knowledge to build a race car, build my own engines, and things like that.
Well, that's cool.
But that didn't come until after I got back out of Vietnam.
Oh, Vietnam. Okay, so given the era, I suppose you were drafted.
Yes.
So how old were you when you were drafted?
18.
18.
I remember coming home from my first job. And my dad handed me an envelope, and it said something about government on there. And I opened it up, and they said that they wanted me in the service, and I was just elated.
So you were happy to do it.
Very much.
Huh.
Draft card burning hadn't quite started yet, and I felt honored to go into the military.
Where did they send you for your training?
They put me on an airplane over in Oakland, California, and they flew me right up here to Washington.
Ah.
So I took basic training up here at Fort Lewis.
At Fort Lewis. Mm-hmm. Had you ever been to Washington before that?
I had once. I went with a friend of mine. His dad's truck broke down, and we had to come up and get it going.
Ah.
But other than that, no.
Oh, okay. So you were at Fort Lewis for your training, and how long is training?
8 weeks.
8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened?
After you graduate, they take you back to your barracks. Now you're in the regular army.
Right.
And they give you your orders and where you're going.
Right.
All I heard when they call your name, they tell you where you're going and what it is. Advanced infantry training, advanced infantry training, advanced infantry training. That's all I was hearing. And I go, no, Lord. So they came to me and they said, you're going to Aberdeen, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
For heavy wheel and track mechanic.
Ah.
Now we go back to the 4 years in high school that my testing came out so high.
So they had given you some sort of mechanical testing. They gave everyone.
Oh, they give you all kinds of testing.
Okay, and so obviously you scored really well in that.
Right. I mean, they even get down to the point, do you know how to type?
So they sent you to Maryland for training. Had you been to Maryland before?
No.
No.
No. Okay. I've never been out of California at this point.
So how much training did you do in Maryland?
6 months.
Okay.
6 months, They start you out on rebuilding little motors and stuff, and it just starts really simple all the way up to where you have to take a turn off a tank, and it just goes on and on and on. It's quite elaborate, but it really is.
But it sounds really interesting, though.
Mm-hmm, it was.
Yeah.
And it fit right into my boots.
Yeah. And so when you're finished with the 6 months, did they once again draw a magic piece of paper out to tell you where you were going next?
Yep. They give you orders for everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Until they sent me right back to Fort Lewis, Washington. Then I started mechanicking on big buses and trucks and all that kind of stuff.
And how long did you do that?
I think it was another 4 or 5 months. And then we got orders. The whole company was being sent to Vietnam.
Yes.
And said, now, here's another interesting thing also. Yeah, they said we're going to Southeast Asia. They didn't say nothing about Vietnam, just Southeast Asia. And I go, oh, that might be neat, whatever, wherever that's at.
It's an adventure.
Yeah. So I called my dad, and I said, Dad, I got my orders. We're going to Southeast Asia. And my dad said, you're going to Vietnam. I said, where's that? I didn't know where this was. And he said, what you're doing, sons, you're going to war. Ooh, I just got that. And I said, no, I don't think so, Dad. He said, I know so. I didn't even know there was a war going on there. I was so naive.
Yeah,
you know, type thing. So they put us on a boat, and because we're a whole company, and they took us over to Vietnam. We came into Da Nang, and another company that was on a boat got off there. And so then they floated us up to Quy Nhon. When we got to Quy Nhon, we got off, and we walked on to the base, a big base. There was barracks all over the place. Guys walking around with starch fatigues, no rifles, no nothing. I go, oh, this is a good place to be, I think.
Okay.
All right? So you have 2 weeks of incoming training, what to do, what not to do. Next thing I know, sergeant told us to line up. We're getting issued an AR-15s. I go, this isn't good. So then they trucked us in hundreds of miles into what's called the town of Pleiku. Not a good place. So we had to set up shop. We had huge, great, big tents and all this stuff. There was no buildings there. Why did we go there? To rebuild engines. That's what we're there to send. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me, but the Army doesn't anyway.
Yeah.
But I did have a little fun over there, if that's what you call it. It's simple things, type thing. I got very bored in there doing these engines, great big 16-cylinder diesel engines and small engines, all kinds of engine type thing. So I volunteered for everything, which you're not supposed to do as a soldier.
Okay.
I volunteered to go back to Quy Nhon with a truck, you know, on convoys and stuff. And then the job came up to drive a, it was called an M88 recovery vehicle. It's a great big mammoth track vehicle to go pull this junk out of the jungle that's blown up. Earth movers, army tanks, APCs, a lot of different things, which my buddy Danny and I enjoyed doing. The only thing is that sometimes you had to go way out in the field, in the jungle, to get these things. Mm-hmm. And the things that happened out there weren't fun either. All right. But you had to live with not going back in the tent to rebuild the engine. That was pretty much my involvement over there. It wasn't good, believe me. It wasn't. But I made it home.
You made it home.
Yeah.
But this may be skipping ahead a little bit. But at some point later, you discovered you had been exposed to Agent Orange over there.
Yes, ma'am. I'll tell you a little story how that got to that point.
Okay. Right.
I went driving truck when I got back. Very good job. After I retired from driving the truck, went to work just for a while putting on metal roofs for an outfit. But it's a special roofs. They're very expensive, but they're nice. They sent me up here to train. So I came up here and started training them. And then he asked me, he said, would you like to come to work for me? Because these are very hard for people to learn how to do. They really are. So I said, well, let me check with my wife. My wife's the boss, by the way.
Yeah.
So anyway, she said, fine. So we moved to Bremerton. And then this guy's company went out of business.
Oops.
So we decided to go into our own business with these roofs. Mm-hmm. And so we did that for 10 years. It got too hectic for me. I've already done my thing and retired. Mm-hmm. I don't need this job. So I told my wife, I said, I got to do something. I want to do something for veterans. So I went down to the padlock, VFW, and signed up.
But wait, let's backtrack a little bit. Because you were exposed to Agent Orange in mm-hmm. Vietnam. But mm-hmm. did you find out about it over there? Or did you find out about it 5 years later or 10 years?
Oh, I didn't know anything about it. All I know is I got sprayed twice. And we didn't know what it was. Nobody told us about that.
Okay.
When I was over there.
So you came back to the States. And mm-hmm. your first career was as a truck driver. Mm-hmm. And you did that for
20 years.
20 years. Mm-hmm. And then career number two was putting in these elaborate metal roofs, right?
Correct.
And you started in California
mm-hmm.
and then came up here to Washington to help train a guy. And then you took a job with him and his company went out.
Right.
And you started your own company.
Correct.
What was it called?
Sunrise Specialty Roofing. And that's not like S-U-N, it was S-O-N. We were going to church a lot and it just sounded right to us.
And was it based in Bremerton?
Yes. And then we moved over to Port Orchard.
I see.
From there.
And,
right.
You know, I don't know a lot about roofs, really, but I certainly am aware there are metal roofs as well as composite and other types. You were saying that these were expensive roofs and good quality, but what made them stand out?
Well, they're called stone-coated roofs. What it is granite crushed, like thick sand, and then they bond that on metal, and they have them look like tile. They have them that look like shake. But the curb appeal is absolutely beautiful, and they're very expensive. I've done most of my work over in the Bellevue area, if that explains anything.
Yeah.
McCaw, I did his roof. Mm. Okay, and I did the CEO for Airborne Express over on that area.
Yeah,
and so most of our work was over there, although I've done one right here in this town.
Ooh. So you've done one in Port Townsend?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the first time you saw Port Townsend?
Pretty much, yeah. But when we were in business ourselves, it got too hectic.
Right.
And I mean, we never got to go anywhere or do anything. I was going on bids at nighttime and weekends and trying to keep the crews busy. And
right.
That's why we folded it up, the company, because it got out of hand. It's just,
okay.
We didn't need it, you know.
So what year was that?
That was about 11 years ago.
So was that the point at which you moved to Port Townsend or the Jefferson County?
Well,
when did you move here?
No, not yet. Not long after we hung that up. There was only two of us doing these roofs in the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
This one guy, Dick Shipman, I don't know if that name hits you or not. But anyway, he's got a metal roofing company up here, just metal. He wanted to get into that. Stone Coated because of the good money, I guess. Uh-huh. He contacted the manufacturer, and they told him, well, there's one guy down in Bremerton that does this. So he contacted me. I come up here, and we made a deal that I'd train some of his guys.
Right.
That didn't work. So I said, well, I'll do a few for you. That's how I got up here.
Uh-huh.
And I liked it up here. I really did. So my wife and I decided to move up here.
Okay.
And so we did a few roofs for him, and then, like I'm saying, it was time to just go do something else besides work.
Well, I can see that. You, I guess, were always involved personally with veterans groups. Is that true? Were you?
No, not yet. Now we're up here, and now I'm bored again.
Mm-hmm.
I told my wife, I said, I want to do something for veterans.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what got me into the VFW. I figured if I went down there and signed up, that maybe I could mow some lawns or fix some fences or fix some cars or something that state.
Mm-hmm.
So then the guy down there that was running the VFW, he's a Vietnam veteran. And so he asked me, after he seen my hat, he said, oh, where are you at, da-da-da-da-da. He said, well, were you injured over there at all? I said, no. And he said, well, do you have any physical problems from over there? And I says, not that I know of, a few stitches is it all. He said, do you have diabetes? I said, yes. He said, have you had a heart attack? I said, yes. And he said, well, we're going to put you in for Agent Orange because that's the signs of it. So I had to be tested. Yes, I have it.
Wow.
Then we sat down, and he starts filling all his papers, and I'm going, well, what are you doing there? He said, we're going to put you in for a disability. I'm a service officer. I didn't know what a service officer was. I didn't know anything like that. Right. Finally, I wasn't getting anything through VFW because nobody needed nothing fixed or whatever. He said, well, let's go down to Fife and we'll get you signed up. You can go to school and become a service officer.
Okay. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 on your radio dial. Online, you're at kptz.org. KPTZ is Jefferson County's community radio station. We feature all sorts of musical programs from rock to opera, bluegrass, Broadway. We also have some talk shows. This is one. It's called Our Town. I'm your host, Mary Ann McNellis. Our Town features different people from around the peninsula. People you don't know yet, but you'd like to meet them. Today, my guest, Gary Lane, who's the service officer for the American Legion Post here. Gary was just telling me how he ultimately became a service officer himself. He was in Vietnam, came home, worked for many years. Only much later did he discover some of his physical problems were due to his exposure to Agent Orange. So in addition to finding that out, Gary's the kind of man who wants to help others. So he became a service officer. Right now, he's going to just tell us exactly what a service officer does.
Service officer does a lot of work.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what we do is we put in guys for disabilities. I've done this for World War II veterans, for Korean veterans, Vietnam veterans, and here in the last year from Iraq and Afghanistan, put in for those. And those are been really hard ones because there's been a lot of bad injuries that come out of there.
And if I understand it correctly, you don't just deal with Army veterans. It's any branch of the service, right?
Correct.
Okay, good.
You bet. Also, for low-income veterans that don't make a lot of money, we can put them in for various things. We also have women veterans, too.
Right.
And they come in. So we have different forms for them. But also, when a man is killed at war, I can put them in for widow benefits. It just goes on and on and on. When you go on the VA site and look at all the forms, there's over 100 and something different forms, all the way down to loans. You know,
wow.
I can help them get into that. Just about anything that you can think of, we have a form for it.
Yeah. Well, you've been doing it for 7 years, you told me.
7 years, and I'm going on my eighth.
Roughly how many veterans have you helped over the seven-year period?
I was thinking about that just this morning, and it's in the hundreds.
Yeah.
It really is. I usually do one or two a week.
Wow.
Most service officers just have a little office and they come in and just sit down and do this. I don't stick to that. I go to housebound veterans. I go to old folks' homes and deal with those. I also help older people get into these homes. There is just so many things that I do. Now, a lot of people are out in Quillistine,
right,
Brennan, and they're driving a long way to come and see me. So a lot of times what I'll do is we'll go to the library in Hadlock where they don't have to come even further into town.
Right.
But I get telephones all the way up to 7, 8 o'clock at night, and I have to explain to people how to get into the healthcare system. I'm just an all-around guy.
Yeah, well, those forms look incredibly complex, but you've done many of them, so I guess you've figured out how to do those forms.
Oh, yes. Yes, and I know how to fight for them, too. I've had 2 denials in 7 years.
Wow. So of hundreds of men and women, only 2 times did you strike
only
out.
Only 2.
That's a pretty good record.
Very, you betcha.
Very
you betcha.
Impressive.
When you go through the school, this was down in Fife, they teach you how to fill out forms.
Right.
When I come out of there, I was going, where do I start?
Yeah.
You know, you can't grasp it all. There's so much. So I got a book on how to become a good service officer. And my wife will tell you that I sat there and read that thing 4, 5, 6 times. I'm sitting on the couch. And I collected a whole lot more information. And then as time went on, you find different avenues. Just send them that we can't deal with or whatever. Because a lot of times, they're just looking for something.
Yeah.
But we can't help them if he doesn't have anything. So we send them to Ole Cap and places like that, too.
Right, you know? Right. Well, I would imagine that some of the people you encounter have tried to start the process on their own, but just get overwhelmed. They can't handle it.
I had one here, something like that, just recently. Now, what I do, if they're capable, I send the forms home with them.
Right.
Because there's a lot of information there that you might have to find. And then we review it when they come back. And then I let them know that we need 2 extra copies. You have the originals you're going to send in, and then 2 copies, one for him and one for me.
Right.
There's a lot of information on these that you don't want out
in
the public, social security numbers, et cetera, et cetera. I have a safe down there, and I'm the only one with the key. And that makes them feel more comfortable also. But I learned that in that book.
Yeah, 2 copies of everything.
Right, right. So I need a copy in case if I get a phone call, which happens from the VA, or he also has a copy that he can go back and look in too. Well, I had this one gentleman that didn't come back to be reviewed and let me go through the papers, make sure everything was fine. So he sent it in on his own. Well, he got the papers back and said they were incomplete. He had to come back in, and then we redid it, everything got it gone.
It takes a while to get some of these cases through. You might be working on it for months.
If I can tell you a story about one of those,
sure.
I'd love to. This one gentleman, Van, a great guy, he was in Blue Water Navy. And on his DD-14, it says Vietnam on it. He ended up with all the signs of Agent Orange. So we sent it in and claiming Agent Orange. They sent it back and they said, you can't prove that you were in Vietnam. And it's right there on his papers. And they said, well, you were Navy. So you were in Vietnam waters, but you weren't on the ground. And they have a thing called boots on the ground. If you had boots on the ground in Vietnam, you were probably exposed to Agent Orange. So that was one of my denials. So I told Van, did you go on land? He said, yes, I did. He had a critical MOS. That's what you do. So they helicoptered him every other day over to the land. Now, what about all that rotor wash? Because Vietnam was just covered with Agent Orange. Well, what about the rotor wash when you land in Vietnam every other day for that? Just blowing it right in your face. I had him get a hold of the Navy and tell him what he was doing and why, and to get a hold of that boat's records. Navy keeps a very solid records, and they sent it back and explained everything that he did and how many times he was on there, and guess what happened? We got him a disability for Agent Orange.
Wow.
But nobody told me to do that. Nobody explained to me. I wasn't taught that. It's just you got to think.
You got to think. All. Yeah. Well, you know, there are probably some veterans listening to this show who haven't heard about service officer and haven't heard that there's someone like you that could help. How would you suggest any of them get in touch with you?
They can call the American Legion.
right?
After 2 o'clock, it didn't open till 2.
Okay, 2 o'clock, American Legion.
Right. And ask for my phone number, and they will give it to you. And I'm also a service officer for the county. Okay. I work down there on Wednesdays at the courthouse in the commissioner's office. And you can call down there, and Carolyn will give you my phone number.
And the two things, while similar, are somewhat different. When you're a service officer for the American Legion, you're helping with military pension or disabilities. When you're doing it from the courthouse on Wednesday, what are you able to do for veterans there?
Okay, well, it's completely different down there.
Right.
It's two separate things.
Right.
At the courthouse, what they have is a relief fund for veterans. If you make less than $2,000 a month, you can come down there and you can get, you're allowed $1,500 a year. And we can send you down to Safeway with a voucher. We can pay POD bills, help you with your rent, help you get some glasses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot going on there. So what you have to do is call Carolyn down at the courthouse and she'll set you up with a meeting for us.
Well, that sounds good.
And we do that every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday at the courthouse.
Correct.
In Fort Townsend.
Correct.
Okay. And I know from what you've told me, you also know just who to call at OLECAP or any of the other charitable organizations around town.
Those are what I call my avenues.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. So you've got ways to help people, many ways to help veterans.
Correct.
You betcha. But they have to ask for the help.
Yes. And like you were saying just a minute ago, a lot of these people don't know about service officers.
Right.
They don't know. And it's hard. You would think after this much time, 7 years, and all these people, veterans have been out there, that they, now some of the veterans do send other veterans down. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's just not a known thing.
Yeah.
And when you leave the service, they don't tell you about this or anything.
Well, I hope that some of our listeners hearing this today, they may have a relative or a friend who's a veteran, and they can say, hey, I heard on the KPTZ about the service officer at the Legion, and why don't you give them a ring?
Correct.
And maybe we'll help some more veterans. We'd really like to do that.
Oh, I sure appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Gary, I hate to tell you, but we're just about out of time. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me down here.
Yeah, and I hope that people are listening that may ring a bell with them. They have a veteran in their lives that they'd like to help and put him on or her on the right path. In addition to thanking our guests today, Gary, I also want to thank my partner, John McPherson. He's the man in the glass booth, the editor and producer of Our Town. He smooths out all of our ifs, ands, and buts and grunts and makes us sound so much better than we really are. I also want to thank you, the listener. KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend, is a community radio station. That means all of us here at the station are volunteers. We give our time to this community station because we all believe that Jefferson County needs a free local voice. We need your support, listeners. We need your cash donations. We also need people to come down here and help out. So sometime drop by. We're at the Mountain View campus. Come see how you can get involved with your community radio station. KPTZ shows stretch across many genres, many different music shows, a number of talk shows. This is one, Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Our Town helps you get to know some of the fascinating people who live and work in Jefferson County. We profile some unique individuals who make Jefferson County the special place that it is. I really do want to thank Gary Lane, the service officer, for all of his help that he's been giving veterans, and he'd be more than happy to help you or someone you know and love. We're signing off for today, but keep listening to KPTZ for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.